Scarcity: Why Having Too Little Means So Much. Authors: Sendil Mullainathan and Eldar Shafir. The Science of Scarcity. When we told an economist colleague that we were studying scarcity, he remarked, "There is already a science of scarcity. It's called economics." He was right, of course. Economics is a study of how we use our limited means to achieve our unlimited desires. How people in societies manage physical scarcity. If you spend money on a new coat, you have less money for a dinner out. If the government spends money on an experimental procedure for lung cancer, there is less money for highway safety. It is remarkable how frequently otherwise clever discussions tend to overlook trade-offs. The Focus Dividend. The British journalist Max Hastings noted in one of his books, "An Englishman's mind works best when it is almost too late." Everyone who has ever worked on a deadline may feel like an Englishman. Deadlines are effective because they create scarcity and focus the mind. Whether it is a few minutes left in a meeting or a few weeks left in college, the deadline looms large. We put more time into the task. Distractions are less tempting. When time is short, you get more out of it, be it work or pleasure. We call this the focus dividend. The positive outcome of scarcity capturing the mind. Tunneling, the process of neglect. Focusing on one thing means neglecting other things. We've had all the experience of being so engrossed in a book or a TV show that we fail to register a question from a friend sitting next to us. The power of focus is also the power to shut things out. Instead of saying that scarcity focuses, we could just say that scarcity causes us to tunnel, to focus single-mindedly on managing the scarcity at hand. Packing in slack. You're about to leave on a business trip. Imagine how you might pack a suitably large suitcase. You might start by putting in all the essentials: toiletries, business clothes, electronics. With room left over, you might add a few less essential items. You pack an umbrella in case it rains. You take a sweater in case it's cold. You pack your gym clothes and running shoes. Satisfied, you close the suitcase with some room to spare. There are other things you could take, but you feel fine with what you have. Now imagine instead packing a small suitcase for the same trip. As before, you might start by casually tossing in the bare essentials, but these already quickly fill the suitcase. You take everything out and pack again, this time more methodically. You carefully stack and arrange. You become creative in making room. You stuff socks and a phone charger inside your shoes and uncoil your belt and slide it along the suitcase edge. This leaves a bit of spare room. Should you take the sweater, the gym clothes, the umbrella? Packing the small suitcase forces trade-offs. After some deliberation, you choose the sweater and squeeze the suitcase shut. Both the large and small suitcase impose limits. No matter the size of the suitcase, you obviously cannot fit every possible useful item. Both suitcases require a choice of what to pack and what to leave out. Yet psychologically, only the small suitcase really feels like a problem. The large suitcase is packed casually. The small suitcase is packed carefully and intently. Opportunity costs. The confusion about the value of things comes about because we do not make trade-offs. Perhaps do not even know how to make these trade-offs when we have abundance. To look at this directly, we ask subjects to imagine the following scenario. You purchase a season ticket package for your favorite sports team. The package includes tickets to a set schedule of 8 games. Although a single ticket for each game costs $30, your season ticket package costs only $160, or $20 for each ticket. You like the set of games included in the ticket package, so you decide to buy it. Now, imagine that the season is almost over, and you only have one game left to see. In fact, this game has a lot of buzz around it, and tickets are currently selling for $75 around town. You're about to go into the game. Imagine how you feel about the cost of attending the game. Subjects were asked to rate how much each of the two following statements captures their feelings about the cost of attending the game. I feel like this cost me $75, the current worth of the ticket, and the price I could have gotten had I chosen to sell. I feel like this cost me $20, the price I paid for the ticket. What's the right answer here? Economists view $75 as the real cost. If you skip the game, you can sell a ticket and get $75. This doesn't even include the time trade-off. Economists call this the opportunity cost, the trade-off of what else you could have spent the money on. Well-off people get this wrong. They are much more likely to say $20. Many of them would even choose a third option, $0, because the ticket is already paid for. You can see why it feels this way to the well-off. When you have slack, arguably $0 or $20 because that's something you can anchor on, feels right. With slack, you're not going to give up anything to go. Selling that ticket really wouldn't buy you anything you wouldn't already buy. In contrast, the poor have already got a clear idea of what they could do with the $75. As a result, we find that the poor are much more likely to report that it feels as if the target cost them $75. Once again, they appear much closer to the economic ideal. The poor have a specific skill. They are better at making ends meet today. They make a dollar go further. They become experts in the value of money. This expertise makes them appear more rational and less prone to inconsistencies, but it also becomes a hindrance. Along with the focus that brings expertise comes tunneling, and with tunneling comes a slew of negative consequences. Unappreciated slack. You used to have an amazing assistant, always ready to do the tasks you need. On short notice, happily and well. But then a management consultant discovered that your assistant had a lot of free time on his hands. The department was reorganized, and now you share the assistant with two other people. The office's time use data show that this is much more efficient. Now the assistant's schedule is packed as tight as yours. But now your last minute short notice request can no longer be handled immediately. This means that, with your heavy schedule, even the smallest shock sets you behind. And as you fall behind, you start to juggle and fall behind further and further. The assistant was an important source of slack. He allowed for the handling of emergencies when all your regular venues were fully scheduled. The very fact that the assistant was underused is what made the assistant valuable. Managing scarcity. We can scarcity-proof our environment. We can introduce the equivalent of helpful assistance, using our insights into why things go badly and build better outcomes. What matters is the logic of the enterprise. The appreciation of how understanding scarcity can help us think differently and manage enduring problems. Vigilance. We can think of choices as coming in one of two varieties. Vigilance and one-off. Vigilance choices require that we continuously repeat the choice. It's like going to the gym, saving for a rainy day, eating the right foods, or spending quality time with our family. Especially when you tunnel, it is much easier to do the right thing once than to have to repeat it. Yet so many behaviors require vigilance. Being a good parent, saving money, or eating right. To make matters worse, so many bad behaviors need to be done just once to cause the pain. Borrowing, taking on an ill-advised commitment, making an unwise purchase. The vicious cycle. In a world of scarcity, long deadlines are a recipe for trouble. Early abundance encourages waste, and by the time the deadline approaches, tunneling and neglect settle in. Breaking a long deadline into progressively easier chunks can cut this arc. The same thing happens with money. A way to fight the abundance then scarcity cycle is to even it out. To create long periods of moderation rather than spurts of abundance followed by heightened periods of scarcity. The tug of scarcity can be strong, but understanding its logic can minimize its negative consequences. We can go some way towards scarcity-proofing our environment, like investing in a smoke alarm or setting up a college savings account for your new baby. A singular moment of insight can have lasting benefits.